Good morning again to everyone. Let me ask you to open your Bible to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. I'll be using the New International Version. We're going to start with verse 20, and we're going to read down through the end of chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers, as wood to fire, so a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Like a coating of glaze over earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. A malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart, he harbors deceit. Though his speech is charming, do not believe him, for seven abominations fill his heart. His malice may be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it'll roll back on him. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruins. Somebody said, there are three things that will never come back to you. They are a spent arrow, a lost opportunity, and a spoken word. Yet there are many, even in the church, but there are many who take pride in the fact that they have never engaged in such acts as drunkenness, immorality, and drugs. But from this same crowd, it seems that they have no problem with sins of the tongue. The problem isn't that they're telling all they know. The problem is that they're telling more than they know. And shockingly, it seems that some are surprised that the Bible speaks about sins of the tongue. Shockingly, it's surprising that some are unaware that the Bible speaks about gossip and talebearing and divisive speech that is meant to sow discord. It was Moses who said in the very long ago in in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19 and verse 16, Moses says, do not go about the people speaking slander. Listen, no one should go about the church speaking slander. It was a sin back then, and it's still a sin today. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, the Apostle Paul said, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which will build up for edification. Paul says, speak those words which will be a benefit to other people. Our words ought to encourage, not discourage. Our words ought to build up and not tear down.
Our words ought to do good and not evil. Our words ought to sow unity and not discord. Our subject this morning is the biggest little troublemaker in the church. And if you haven't figured out what it is yet, there it is. There it is. More homes have been destroyed by that little member than anything else that has destroyed homes. Amen. More congregations have been destroyed by that little member than anything else. We need to watch our speech. I'm shocked, and I'm just going to say this and keep going. I am shocked at how folks speak to each other. I am shocked at how politicians address each other. If anything, they ought to be setting an example. This is not how we are to address each other. So let's talk about this little member here. The sermon this morning is going to be based around three questions. The first question is a why question. Question number one is this: why do people go about committing sins of the tongue? Why do they do that? Let me give you three reasons for it. Number one, people commit sins of the tongue because they have allowed Satan to take control of their tongue. The devil is in control of what's coming out of their mouth. Now, let me share with you a passage, and you're going to see a verse, and you're probably going to see it in a light you've never seen before. In Acts chapter 5. We find out, beginning with verse 1 and following, about a Christian couple, husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira were Christians. Ananias and Sapphira were members of the church in Jerusalem. But Ananias and Sapphira got together and they conspired to perpetrate a fraud on the church. They got together, and together they agreed that they were going to tell a lie. And they both told the same lie. So when, listen now, get what's happening. When the Apostle Peter confronts Ananias with what they have done, they have lied. When the Apostle Peter confronts Ananias, here's what Peter says to him. In Acts 5 and in verse 3, Ananias, Peter says, how is it that you have allowed Satan to fill your heart and that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Now, I want you to look at what that verse not only says, I want you to look at what that verse teaches. That verse teaches that the reason that people lie, and the reason that people gossip, and the reason that people talebear, and the reason that people are divisive in their speech is because they have allowed the devil to fill their hearts. That's why they did what they did. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, that is, be awake. He says, for your adversary, an adversary is your enemy. He says, for your enemy, the devil. The devil is not your friend, he's your enemy. He's your adversary. For the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Everybody needs to understand that the devil wants to capture your mind. The devil wants to capture your life. And he dead sure wants to control what it is that comes out of your mouth. So people who go about committing sins of the tongue are people who have allowed the devil to control their tongue. Let me give you a second reason why people do this. The second reason that people commit sins of the tongue is they don't have enough to do. They don't have enough to do. You know why they do this? Because they are idle. They are idle. Listen to how the Apostle Paul connects this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse number 11, Paul says, "We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, but they are busy bodies." What does that verse teach? That verse teaches that if a person doesn't have anything to do, if that person is idle, what that person will end up doing is being a busybody in other people's business. That's what it says. Why are they busybody? He says, because they are idle. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul takes it on. They get into the habit of being idle, and so they go from house to house gossiping and being busybodies. Now, what does that verse teach? What that verse teaches is this: brethren, if we don't find something good to do in our lives, we'll end up doing something bad. If we don't end up doing something constructive in our lives, we'll end up doing something that's destructive in our lives. If we don't end up doing something that's righteous, we'll end up doing something that is sinful. So why do people go about committing sins of the tongue? They've let the devil take control of them. They don't have enough to do. So they got to get in your business. The third reason that people go about committing sins of the tongue is they want to control your thinking. So they will come to you and tell you, "You know about Sister So-and-so, don't you? You've heard about what she did, right? What are they doing? They're trying to control your thinking. They want you to think about Sister So-and-so like they do. Well, now you heard about that Fox family, didn't you? Well, let me tell you about that Fox family. What are they doing? They're trying to take control of your thinking. They want your thinking to be like their thinking. That's why people do this. Amen. Well, this is the way I see it. Well, this is how I do it. Well, this is my opinion. And in everybody's opinion, it's supposed to line up with everybody else's. And let me say this. No Christian is under obligation to listen to another Christian gossip. No. No. Well, let me tell you about her. Just say, "You know what? I don't want to know about her." Well, let me tell you about this family. Look, I don't want you to tell me about this family. And if they call you, Tell them in a Christian way to lose your number and hang up. Why do people engage in sins of the tongue? They've let the devil get hold of them. They don't have enough to do. And they're trying to control your thinking. You need to think like me. No, you don't. Question number two. The second question is a what question. What are the results of committing sins of the tongue? What are the results of this? Well, we need to understand the first result is that we have violated God's law. We have violated God's law. In Psalm 39 and in verse 1, David said this. He said, I will keep my tongue from sin and I will put a muzzle on my mouth. It's a good idea that everybody keep their tongue from sin, and there are times when all of us need to put a muzzle over our mouths. Amen. The result of committing sins of the tongue, the result of walking around talking about what's wrong with everybody but you, is that this violates God's law. And the Bible teaches that a spiritual person will not do this. In James chapter 1 and in verse 26, James says, if there's any among you who seem to be religious but cannot bridle his tongue, James says this man's religion is in vain. A man may claim, a woman may claim to be religious, but if they can't control their tongue, what they are is they are engaged in a religion that is empty. Now let me show you how serious this is. Leave Proverbs chapter 26, and I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. I want you to see how serious this is in the eyes of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Listen carefully. Verse 28. Furthermore, since they do not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he, God, gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Verse 29. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Well, this is quite a group, isn't it? Listen to what is said about this group. They have depraved minds. Listen to what is said. They are filled with every kind of wickedness, murder, God haters. They invent ways of doing evil. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. But I want you to see that in this same list, among all of these things that are horrific, look at the sins of the tongue that are listed. gossip and slander and malice. Now, what is my point? Here is my point. If it is true that a thing can be judged by the company it keeps, then sins of the tongue are pretty ragged sin. So what is the result of just letting our tongue run wild? You have violated God's law. You have separated yourself from God. Number two, hold on to this. Hold on to this. The second result of committing sins of the tongue is that it breaks up homes. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and you may not agree with it, but leave here and think about it, and by tomorrow afternoon, you agree with this. Every one of us, every one of us, knows somebody whose home has been destroyed by a gossip. You say, well, I don't know. I'm going to explain it. Here is a husband and wife. They're not getting along. They're not getting along. You know anything about that? You look at me, you give me a real squirrely look right there. Here's a husband and wife, they're not getting along. So she, the wife, goes and talks to her friend. Don't get ahead of me. She goes and talks to her friend. And her friend tells her, you need to leave him. He's no account. He ain't no good. You know he ain't no good. Then he, the husband, goes and talks to one of his friends. And his friend tells him, listen, man, don't you know how many fish are out there in the ocean? Don't you know what's going on? So now, her and him, the husband and wife, now they're more upset with each other than ever before. Every one of us know a home that's been destroyed by gossip. Now, watch this carefully. Watch this. In Proverbs chapter 17 and in verse 9, the wise man said that he who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Now, let's cut through the Hebrew poetry there. We're going to cut through that. What is the wise man saying? That verse, brethren, is a contrast. It's a contrast. It's a contrast between someone who's trying to cover up a wrong and someone who's trying to promote the wrong. Hello? This verse is a contrast. It's a contrast between somebody who is promoting love and somebody who's trying to repeat an offense. Listen, if you hang on to the past, you're going to ruin your marriage. If you hang on to the past, you're going to ruin friendships. If you hang on to the past, you are going to ruin your home. The result of us allowing our tongues to run rampant is that we have committed a violation of God's law. We are separated from God now through that offense. And the second thing is that, listen, it'll break up your home. Watch how you thank you. Watch how you speak to each other at home. What is the result of sins of the tongue? Number three, it destroys a person's reputation. How many people have been blamed for something, raked over the coals, reputation gone, life destroyed, family tore up, and then they find out he or she hadn't done anything. Hadn't done anything. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you're going to destroy each other. He wrote that to Christians. He wrote that to Christians. Now, let me tell you something. According to that verse right there, there are some Christians who, with their words, chew up and eat people and spit them out. According to that verse right there, there are folks who with their words just chew people out. And say, well, what happened to Brother John Doe? What happened to Brother John Doe is that Brother A eat him alive. We turn into spiritual cannibals. You say, well, what happened to such and so family? What happened to such and so family is that Tom, Dick, and Harry ate them up. Everybody here knows physical cannibalism is repulsive. But we need to understand the connection between physical cannibal and spiritual cannibalism. Listen, spiritual cannibalism is just as deadly. We see half of something and then make the rest of it up. Luke 15, the prodigal son left home. Far country, mess up his life, living with the pigs, eating with the pigs. When he came home, his brother, who wouldn't even come out to meet him, but the father had a conversation with the brother. You know what the brother told him? He said, Dad, he's been out there living with harlots. How'd he know? The only person in Luke 15 who mentioned harlots was him. You know what he was telling the dad? Well, Dad, he must have been out there with them harlots, because if I'd have been out there, that's what I'd have been doing. If you know 99% of the story, you don't know the whole story. And that 1% of it that you don't know might change your mind. So what is the result? What is the result of it? We violate God's law. What is the result of it? It'll break up homes. We all know that. We've all seen that. Well, what is the result of it? It will destroy a person's reputation. Now, here's what I've said. I have said there are three things you never get back. You'll never get back a spent arrow.
When that arrow leaves the bow, it ain't coming back. A lost opportunity. If you don't seize it, it's gone. We know that. But another thing we can never get back is a spoken word. Why do people do that? We've talked about that. What is the result of people doing it? We've talked about that. Now let me ask you this. Are you the kind of person who looks for the good in a person or looks for the bad in a person? What are you looking for in others? Now, Jesus is the example in all things. And Jesus looked for the good in others. In fact, Jesus found good in some people who society viewed as outcast. Jesus comes into the wealthy city of Jericho. And Zacchaeus is up a tree. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, but that's not all. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector in the city of Jericho. Among the Jewish people, the most despised human being on earth was Zacchaeus. But Jesus went to Zacchaeus and said, "Come down from here, I'm going home with you." What others called an outcast, Jesus went home with him. What about the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4? She went to, Jesus is at Jacob's well. Now listen to me and don't miss this about that story. Jesus is at Jacob's well at noon, and this Samaritan woman comes to draw water at noon. That's not when they drew water. The women would go to the well early in the morning to draw the water and then carry the heavy water back home. They did it early in the morning before that blazing sun got up. So why is this Samaritan woman at Jacob's well at the hottest time of the day at noontime drawing water? I'll tell you why, because the other women didn't want her there when they were there. She was outcast, but Jesus talked to her. Jesus spoke to her about a water she could get and never have to come back to that well again, because this would be spiritual water. Listen to what the wise man said. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man will keep a secret. Listen, can you keep a confidence? Huh? Somebody tells you, can you keep a confidence? Or do you have to spray it all over everywhere? You know how that works, right? You know how it works. We get around somebody, now, I'm not supposed to tell this. Promise me you won't tell nobody. And then we tell them. Now, look at me, Einstein. This person you just talked to, what do you think they're going to do now? What are they going to do? You know what they're going to do? They're going to walk across the platform and they're going to find somebody. I'm not supposed to tell this. Do you promise not to tell? And then what are they going to do? They're going to tell them.
And that story is going to make the rounds. And when that story comes back to the original person, it's not one word of it going to be what they said. If I could get up, I'd get up right now.
Where's the stick?
Why? Why do people commit sins of the tongue? What is the result of committing sins of the tongue? Third question, quickly. What can keep us from misusing the tongue? Let me give you two things that will keep you and your tongue in check. Number one, you need to realize the power of your tongue. Realize the power of it. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Listen, do you know that you can hurt somebody with your tongue or you can help somebody with it? You can encourage somebody with your tongue or you can discourage somebody with it. You can lift somebody up with your words or just destroy somebody with your words. You know who I miss? I miss Walter Sims. You know why? Because I never, ever, ever was here that he didn't come and hug me. He called me Fox Man. And he drug the F, Fox Man. Fox Man, that was good. Fox Man, that was it. He encouraged me. I miss him. And then he'd get home and he'd text me. You miss people like that. There's great power in the tongue. Listen, you can use your tongue to make somebody's day, or you use your tongue just to wipe somebody out. And what you say to them says more about you than does them. How do I get that zipper over here? Realize the power of it. And the second thing, the day of judgment is coming.
Amen.
Day of judgment is coming. Jesus said, men will give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they speak. By your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. Let me tell you something. Heaven is aware of all of our words. Conversations that start with, well, now don't tell nobody. Conversations that start with, now just you and me. All of those conversations are heard in heaven. They're heard in heaven. You go to the doctor for a physical, and one of the first things the doctor says is what? Open your mouth and don't y'all go to the doctor? Really? Wait, is my doctor the only one doing this? Maybe I got the wrong doctor. What did he say? Open your mouth and stick out your tongue. Now, I don't know how they do it, but a doctor can gauge a lot about you by looking at your tongue. And the world can gauge a lot about us by the way that we use our tongue. Use it. Brethren, take it and be a blessing to somebody. You can make somebody's day.
You ain't got to give them money. Give them some encouragement. Because the world is beating us all down. We all have drama. We all have things at home and everywhere else that just beat on us. This ought to be the one place that all of us can come and feel better on the way out. Feel better on the way out. I'd end this sermon if I knew how. Are we good?
Yes.
Smallest little trouble, whatever the title, the biggest little troublemaker in the church. Don't mess with me. Help me. If you're here, you need to come. Let us stand and let us sing the invitation song.
When we walk.